The election for Bloomington City Council is less than 3 weeks away, and joining us at ISU's University Galleries are the candidates for Wards 3 and 9. In Ward 3, we have Gary Lambert, incumbent Mboka Mwilambwe, Bob Clay, and Jay Ballmer. In Ward 9, the race is among Kimberly Bray, Greg Rodriguez, and Sherriar Mufti. Also joining us in this live broadcast is our audience. Thanks to everyone for attending this forum. And thanks to the Farnsworth Group and Henson Disposal and Recycling for helping to make this and the other five GLT and League of Women Voter Candidates forums possible. This forum will feature questions developed by GLT News with input from those submitted at WGLT.org. There will also be opening and closing statements. This forum is co-sponsored by the McLean County League of Women Voters. The League's Carol Baker and Gina Campbell are serving as our timekeepers. We determine the order of speaking by drawing numbers with the lowest number going first, and after that, rotating among candidates alphabetically. We will ask as many questions as time permits during this one-hour forum. As moderator, I will call on candidates to make clarifying comments and pose follow-up questions as needed. That brings us to opening statements. First up is Bob Clay. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the hosts and GLT today for offering this opportunity for us to talk to the candidates and the voters. And I'd like to give a little background on myself, just because many of you out there don't know me. We moved to Bloomington Normal in 2002, so I've been a resident at the same house for quite a few years. And some of my background, I've served as an accountant in industry for 35 plus years. Got my BA in economics from Colby College, my MBA from the University of Chicago. I'm concerned about the direction the city has been moving in the past 10 years, that taxes and spending continue to go up and are outpacing the private sector, and that's going to cause problems as it drives away business. Thank you.
Next up, 1 minute for Gary Lambert.
Good evening. Like Bob, I'm running for alderman because I, too, am very concerned about the financial direction the city is headed. Citizen input has consistently stated that the highest priority items that the city should provide are police protection, fire protection, and infrastructure maintenance. In recent history, Bloomington has not fully funded those needs and is now in a catch-up mode. At the same time, the city has fallen into the classic guns or butter trap, trying to satisfy the absolute necessities and at the same time provide an ever-increasing list of quality of life services. Attempting to fully fund both cannot be sustained over the long term. Thank you.
And your opening statement, Sherriar Mufti.
Good evening. My name is Sherriar Mufti, and I'm running for Bloomington City Council in Ward 9. Ward 9 is northeast of Bloomington, roughly between Fort Jesse and GE Road, though a part of it extends between GE and Empire, as well as the east side of Towanda Barnes. I have been a resident of McLean County for 13 years. My wife and I live in Tipton Trails with our four children, and I work at State Farm. I'm running for office because, in my opinion, we are in need of a more fiscally disciplined and balanced local government. Spending is up by 23%. Budget is up by $44 million since 2013. And we have just gone through increases in taxes. I believe we can do better with the money that we have. I'm a pro-business candidate. However, my priorities would be life, health, safety issues.
Thank you, sir. You have had your time elapse. The Ward 3 incumbent alderman is Mboka Mwilambwe. Your opening statement, you also have 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, GLT, and thank you, listeners. My name is Mboko Malambwe. I'm a candidate for Ward 3 on the City Council for Bloomington. I joined this community when I came as a student at ISU more than a quarter century ago, and I chose to stay because of how welcoming the community is, and it's a great place to raise a family. Ever since the recession of 2008, the city has experienced many financial challenges, but yet we've been able to overcome those challenges. We went from a city that could barely meet its obligation to one that has $40 million in reserves and a AA bond rating. Yet there are more challenges ahead. Our revenues are projected to be flat, while expenses are projected to increase. How do I plan to address those? First, I believe we must engage more aggressively in economic development, enhance our business attraction efforts. Second, we must continue to decrease expenses as revenues rebound, and we must be strategic with additional spending. We are also working with staff to implement performance-based budgeting to determine objectively which programs still make sense for the city to be involved in. Infrastructure repair is also not one of my goals.
Thank you. Your time is up. Ward 9 candidate Greg Rodriguez, please give your statement.
Thank you, Charlie. I'm not a politician, and I don't want to be. I have a single motivator in my run for city council, my deep concern for the city's financial future. I believe in careful handling of limited resources, and as the only truly fiscal conservative in the race for my ward, I'm sometimes challenged with the suggestion that I only seek to slash budgets. To the contrary, a true fiscal conservative wants to conserve resources, and I seek to do that in a manner that preserves our way of life as much as possible. Conservation is not the same as reinvention. I don't believe pouring money into a reinvented downtown is going to change our future. Our city's economy is changing in ways that concern me deeply. The well only goes so deep, and I'm afraid we're nearing the bottom. I believe it's better to do a few things really well than it is to do many things poorly. My goals for the city are to live within its reasonable means, pay off its excessive debt, and focus on excellence in the basic services everyone wants and needs. My promise is simply that I'll work as hard as I can to ensure our home doesn't deteriorate on my watch. Thank you.
And our final opening statement, I missed one there. Not final. Let's hear from Jay Ballmer.
I'm Jay Ballmer. I'm running to represent not only the 3rd Ward, but the entire city of Bloomington on the city council. I'm running because I believe that it's a logical extension of everything I've done in service to the city in the 25 years that I've lived in the same house. I've served on the board of the local homeowners association, several nonprofits, including the McLean County Sportsmen, and currently on the Corn Belters chapter of AMBUCS. I was a member of the Downtown Entertainment Task Force, and I spent the last 6 years on the Planning Commission. I was appointed specifically to work on the rewrite of the comprehensive plan, and now that that award-winning document is complete, I want to make sure that it's properly implemented and not wind up on a shelf like some of the other plans that we've developed. I will be a decisive member of the City Council, and I have a proven track record of developing consensus, which we will need moving forward, particularly as it relates to working with other local communities and the county for economic development.
And now our final opening statement comes from the patiently waiting Kimberly Bray.
Thank you, Charlie, and good evening. I'm Kimberly Bray, and I'm running for the Ward 9 seat. And thank you to GLT and the League of Women Voters for sponsoring this event. Many thanks to those of you in attendance this evening and to those listening at home. I look forward to our time together this evening to talk about the business of running our city and visit about plans for our future. My work and volunteer experiences have given me opportunities to interact with individuals from all areas of the community and develop skills as a leader and as an effective team player. I have a great appreciation for the vitality and diversity that we have in our community, and I'm committed to building on its strengths and improving the economic base. One goal specific to Ward 9 is addressing the longer response times for fire and emergency services. We need that. I look forward to our discussion here tonight and ultimately working for the benefit of the citizens of Bloomington. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here tonight.
Ideas for questions for tonight's forum were submitted at WGLT.org, and we're currently still accepting questions for our next forum with Town of Normal Council candidates Tuesday, March 22nd, and for Bloomington Mayor on March 28th. Here is our first question. Collaboration between Bloomington and Normal has been stressed by the way the Metro Zone Agreement unwound or is unwinding, depending on which city you listen to. What steps will you take to restore and maintain healthy cooperation between the city and town? The question goes first to Gary Lambert.
What I would not do is come up with new agreements that create arbitrary divisions of monies between the two cities. Certainly, we do need those areas of cooperation, primarily in the protection of police and fire. Everybody, I think, agrees with that. There's a number of areas where we do share resources. But to think that we're two equal cities, two equal sets of priorities, I think is stretching it. We've had thoughts of, gee, we should just go ahead and share our revenues and sales taxes. I am strongly opposed to that.
And Sherry R. Mufti, your opinion on the cooperation and competition dynamic.
I strongly believe that we are one community, and we have been like that for the last 150 years. However, as Gary mentioned, I also believe that there are differences between our communities. In terms of cooperation, I would work with the town council in Normal, as well as my own colleagues, if I'm elected, to find ways to collaborate where it makes sense. Unless we have the same priorities, it is going to be difficult to do anything more. Thank you.
Alderman Mboka Mwilambwe, you were a part of the council that brought this particular Metro Zone issue to prominence in the public eye lately. What are your thoughts on restoring cooperation?
Right, and part of the reason why I did that was because my primary focus is on really protecting Bloomington taxpayers, and I felt that this agreement was not to the advantage of Bloomington taxpayers. But then you also have to look at the fact that, you know, it's only one agreement, you know, amongst many that we have. We have a lot of intergovernmental agreements where we cooperate, whether it's police, fire, and a number of other things. So I think, you know, I would not go to the extent of thinking that, you know, the two communities cannot work together. But I would also like to work together in the context of Be an Advantage, which is a strategic plan for economic growth for the area. And I think we can bring both councils together to look at that and really, you know, think about the bigger picture. You know, it's much bigger than just a Metro Zone, in my opinion.
The question goes next to Greg Rodriguez.
Thank you. I think it's disappointing how it all kind of fell apart. We are one economy. There is no way to divide the economy of Normal from the economy of Bloomington. So it makes sense to try to cooperate at every turn. And I feel like we've really kind of poisoned the well with this unilateral decision. Now, I understand that the reason we've got this emphasis on protecting Bloomington taxpayers is because, well, we've got these two separate agendas, and I find that to be discouraging. I think the priorities are a little bit misplaced. So I would suggest that we need to take an even more collaborative approach at every turn. I don't think it's beneficial in the long run to either community to continue to maintain separate priorities that you have to then square off against one another.
And Jay Ballmer.
I would have moved to suspend the agreement pending discussions with both parties for a complete rewrite of that entire agreement. I thought it set a dangerous precedent by just canceling it outright. We need to generate new revenues without raising taxes. The best way to do that is through economic development. And through my work on the comprehensive plan, it was quite obvious that in order to do that, we need to work very closely together with other communities, not just Normal, but some of the other outlying communities, as well as the county and the region, in order to bring economic development to the Bloomington-Normal area.
Kimberly Bray, the question is about restoring cooperation and moving away from competitiveness.
Yes, thank you, Charlie. I support the decision of the City Council to terminate the Metro Zone Agreement. The 30-year-old agreement met its purpose and was limited to one area. It's time for another agreement and another purpose. Since the creation of the Metro Zone, we have developed the Bloomington Comprehensive Plan and the BN Advantage. These are excellent vehicles for collaboration. We can use these plans and shared visions for our future to help shape the next deal. And this time, let's have a termination clause. Setting expectations and opening dialogue are essential. I'm an attorney with experience in problem solving and using collaboration and consensus building to find solutions. I look forward to the opportunity to work on this problem.
And Bob Clay.
I think the issue came up over the Metro Zone. Metro Zone was a very effective tool when it was established 20, 30 years ago to bring Mitsubishi plant to the community. And it worked well, but over time it was evident that the revenues and expenses were not matching up well once that development happened. So I think it was a correct decision to protect our taxpayers in Bloomington dismiss it, the Metro Zone. But I think it shows the need for any intergovernmental agreement and all our contracts that the termination clause is probably the most important clause in your contract, is as we found out with the Coliseum. So I do think we need to work together on various aspects, but I do agree that it was time to stop the Metro Zone agreement.
You're listening to a special Sound Ideas and a Bloomington Mayoral Candidates Forum live, or Bloomington City Council Candidates Forum live from ISU's University Galleries in Uptown Normal. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Moving on to question two. This is a chicken-egg question. It's designed to get you to tell the public which priority you value most, limiting taxation or deciding what a city government should do. Glenn Ludwig asks, what is the appropriate starting point for budget development? Determining the revenue stream and then planning expenditures to match revenue, or determining budget expenses and then identifying funding sources to balance the budget? And Sherry R. Mufti, you start.
Thank you. I believe that we have to do as much as possible with the funding that we have. So in my opinion, we should look at, when we're developing budget, we should look at what revenue we have and then based on that determine our needs and figure out where to spend the tax dollars as well as other revenue more efficiently. Thank you.
Mboka Mulambwe.
Thank you. You're getting better.
Rough day.
I agree. I think, you know, you have to realize what you're taking in first. So, you know, figure out what your revenue stream is and then decide, you know, where is the most effective way for you to spend that revenue. To me, that's a pretty simple kind of thing to do. If you don't have the money, then there's nothing you can do with it.
Greg Rodriguez.
So I think that before you even can decide what your revenue stream is, you have to decide what is reasonable to spend. I think that at present, the city kind of budgets backwards. I've had this conversation a lot of times where they look at all the demands and then figure out a way that we're going to put together the money to pay for it. And that's not the way anyone gets to budget. That's not the way I get to budget or anyone in their household. So, and likewise, I don't think it's prudent to spend every penny you make. There is such a thing as a surplus budget. They are generally regarded as positive things. So I would advocate for an approach where we set the number. What is the right number to spend? And then we'll work towards that. And if we happen to make a little bit more money, well, you know what? Let's pay off some of the $100 million in debt obligations we have. Just because we're making it doesn't mean we need to spend it. Thanks.
Jay Ballmer.
You always want to establish the budget first, but in the case of the City of Bloomington budget, a very large percentage of that budget is mandated by either law or contract. So you can't really go in there establishing how much money you want to spend before you start working on the budget. You have to do a prioritized budget where you know what has to be paid, what needs to be done, and then you worry about how you're going to pay for that. And in the case of the City of Bloomington, we know that we have an issue with infrastructure that needs to be addressed. We need more revenue in order to handle that, regardless of any other issues. And the only way to do that without raising taxes is through economic development.
Kimberly Bray?
I would take a look at the revenue stream first, and here's why. An ongoing and growing challenge facing our town is its aging infrastructure. the needed repairs and deferred maintenance expenses have mounted. For instance, recent reports on our facilities contain an assessment of 35 of our major facilities stating that 21 of the structures are in poor condition and additional 5 structures are listed in critical condition. The anticipated cost to make the recommended repairs and updates will be many millions of dollars. We are currently underfunding this on an annual basis. We need to analyze these holdings and make some smart decisions about how to attack this problem. It will take a measured and dedicated approach over a number of years to bring the situation in hand. So we start with revenue first and then find out where we align it. Thank you.
Bob Clay.
I think we need to take a look at our competition. We're in a state that unfortunately is driving business away. And if we're going to continue at the local level having such high taxes that business is driven to other areas and residents are going to other areas, then we're going to be hurt overall. And our budget will not reflect any growth. In fact, it'll turn negative as those businesses move away. So I think a key factor is trying to reduce our taxes so that we can keep and attract more business to our community.
And Gary Lambert, revenue, deciding first on revenue or deciding first on what a city should do?
Revenue first. The city of Bloomington is a home rule town. They have unlimited ability to raise taxes. We have seen evidence of that in the last 3 or 4 years. We've seen a shifting of high priority items out of the general fund funding it over into new additional taxes and fees. To me, that's generating a slush fund for the quality of life issues. As most of the candidates have said, we need to live within our means. Every single taxing body in the country, in the state, in the city wants an ever-increasing percentage of taxes that cannot continue. Thank you.
And our next question comes to us from Greg Coos. For the Bloomington Aldermanic candidates, with the Trump administration's plan to overturn the Clean Water Act, which protects surface water, what measures should the city take to protect its drinking water? And I believe we start with Mboka Mulambwe.
Oh, that's a really tough question. But I think we do have a master plan that we are going to work on. And I think we have very capable staff that can work on that. And we also have to work with the Illinois EPA, but also the U.S. EPA to really try to to prevent the Trump administration from doing things that would damage our water.
Rodriguez.
Sure. I think that from a regulatory standpoint, from a monitoring standpoint, I think we have the tools in place to make sure that our water is safe, that we have a 30-some million dollar water department that is out there, making sure that the water's clean, the water's safe, that the infrastructure's in place. We do have some work to do. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that everything is up to date, but I would expect that if we started noting issues with the water quality, for example, years ago when we first moved to town, there were problems with the nitrates in the water, and we worked with and regulatory measures were in place. We advised pregnant women against drinking the water. I mean, there were measures that were put in place, none of them ideal, but I believe that we've learned from that, and I think that our water department is up to the task of making sure the water's safe.
Jay Ballmer.
We do have an excellent water department in the city of Bloomington. I would like to see us be a little more active than reactive to some of the issues like the nitrates that we've had in the past. And I think we've been moving in that direction over the course of the last few years, including upgrades to the current system we have for water handling. if you look at the recently completed comprehensive plan, there are steps within that plan that show where we need to be both now and 20 years down the road as far as not only securing the water sources we have now, but future water sources.
Kimberly Bray, the question is about the city's role in clean water when national regulation goes away.
Thank you, Charlie. We need clean water, and the city must provide it to its citizens. It's part of the core services that the city provides. In a meeting a few weeks ago with Assistant City Manager, I had a discussion about our water and the quality of our water, and it's my understanding that our water department is doing a very good job in monitoring and being responsible, as are our lakefront homeowners. They take a role here, and they help us in monitoring and being responsible whenever they are managing their properties and making sure that our water remains clean and palatable for our citizens.
Bob Clay, how to keep the city focus in the absence of an overarching federal agency?
I think everyone is concerned about water quality and want to make sure that the water is safe for everyone. My problem is that the city administration seems more concerned with other things than key infrastructure. You know, they want to build hotels and finance hotels and build coliseums and have all sorts of entertainment activities and not putting the focus on roads and water and sewer like it should be. And if we don't get back to funding the basic infrastructure, then we're going to have problems like Normal did when they had their water main break and people are out of water for 24 hours, however long it took to fix it. And Bloomington doesn't need that. We need to move ahead with basic infrastructure.
Gary Lambert, your turn.
I think that is a false question. To my understanding, the EPA has not been done away with. They've had their funding cut, I think, by about 30%.
Overturning the Clean Water Act.
I thought it was the EPA.
Which administers the Clean Water Act.
So we're on level ground. The EPA is still here. I don't know that the Clean Water Act has been overturned. I do agree that we need adequate, safe water supplies. I think our current department is doing an excellent job for our current population and for the foreseeable future. As Jay mentioned, comprehensive plan goes into the long-range plans.
Sherry R. Mufti, you're up.
Thank you. I believe that providing clean water and maintaining the quality of water is first and foremost a local issue, state and local issue. and I think that we have enough regulations in place in order to determine, you know, the right course of action there. I agree with everyone here that we do have a very good water department. They do periodically check the water. One thing perhaps that I would probably look into more is a more emphasis on basic infrastructure improvement, the pipes and all the infrastructure that is required for the water distribution needs to be maintained as an ongoing enterprise. Thank you.
Thanks for choosing GLT and Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. You're listening to a special live broadcast of a Bloomington City Council candidate forum for Wards 3 and 9, co-sponsored with the McLean County League of Women Voters. We're coming to you from Illinois State University Galleries, live from Uptown Normal. Time for question number 4. Jeffrey Smith wrote to us wondering about Eastland Mall. Major anchors such as Macy's and JCPenney will be closing stores there. In Normal, Gordman's is about to undergo liquidation. Jeffrey Smith wanted to know your opinion about the use of incentives to lure business. Lane Hansen also had a question about that. But the question is really broader than that. Please address as well. In an era where people are increasingly buying online, sapping local tax revenue, how should a council and city government help a community maintain a healthy business climate? And Greg Rodriguez, you're up to bat first.
Sure. I read a piece in the Smithsonian Magazine very recently. There hasn't been an enclosed mall built in the U.S. in 10 years. The way we shop is changing. And I don't know that the city, if the city council had a magic wand to wave, I think that would be great. But I don't know that there's much the city can do to save a mall. I think the mall has to evolve, and whatever form that takes, I can't say. But I will say that the city needs to be adaptable and open to private ideas on how that space is going to be reallocated, reused, whatever it becomes. If it stays a mall, great. If not, we'll look forward to whatever that'll be. But the general incentives I view as corporate charity. I view that as probably not the best use of city finances.
Jay Ballmer, incentives and business climate, two themes there.
Incentives are an interesting thing, and I'm really not in favor of incentives for retail operations, because retail has a tendency to follow population. Incentives should be used for other types of actual development. We've got TIF districts, for instance. In some cases, it helped some of the entrepreneurs that were part of the initial revitalization of downtown, where they received some tax breaks or deferred taxes. In some cases, there were some grants that were also available to renovate facades and things of that nature. As far as attracting new business, we need to do a better job of marketing the fact that we have great infrastructure here for business. We've got two highways that go right through the town or very close to it. We've got railroads, airlines.
Thank you, Jay. Kimberly Bray, you're up.
So we know that the retail market is realigning due to internet sales. Not only the mall is affected, but other businesses as well. So we have to take a look at this from a broader perspective, and we can't stay focused on only this mall issue. As we take that perspective, it would be a good idea to come up with some creative solutions, and let's get some stakeholders together. Let's get the business community involved. Let's get some of their input and their ideas. Let's get the property owners together and talk about what are some of the things that they think might be some good next deliverables to our community. Finally, addressing incentives, I think when used judiciously, they can be one tool in the toolbox to encourage economic development.
Bob Clay, how should the city council affect a positive business climate, and then the corollary is the incentive question?
I think the best way the city council can impact the business climate is by reducing taxes and limiting growth of government spending. I'm opposed to the many uses of TIF districts, especially for retail, to encourage one business to move from Normal to Bloomington or Bloomington to Normal. That's just, to me, just a waste of money for both cities. And we need to focus on encouraging a positive business climate that means lower spending and lower taxes.
Gary Lambert, your turn.
It seems like we hear that the internet is a big bad wolf. Yes, they're partly to blame. What's also happening at the same time with all these incentives, rebates of sales tax, TIF districts, we've got a limited supply of disposable income in a given area. What good does it do to give breaks to Dick's Sporting Goods and have MC Sports go out of business? One's paying reduced sales tax, the other one's out of business that had been paying full sales taxes. We've had any number of those situations occur. We should only be giving those breaks if they are used for creating living wage jobs, not for hotel, not for retail. Thank you.
Sherry R. Mufti, your turn to address the question.
I'm against providing financial incentives to large businesses, specifically national chains, although there are cases where I would probably support something where it would benefit a local business or a regional business, or perhaps has an element of infrastructure improvement. In terms of encouraging business growth, I think that We have to lower taxes. We have to provide a better business climate. And really, the local business has to, local government has to get out of the way and let the free market economy work. You know, we should not be in the business of providing a benefit to one over others. Thank you.
Alderman Mulambwe.
Thank you. I think I mentioned that earlier in my opening statement that we have to be increasingly more aggressive in terms of economic development, particularly when it comes to telling our story outside of the community, and so that we can recruit people. We have a lot of things that we can offer in terms of good infrastructure, good quality of life, very good schools that people can come and settle here. So I think that would be encouraging to businesses coming here. At the same time, you know, in thinking about the mall, for example, I think the mall owners have some responsibility to come up with some ideas, and then eventually they could work with us, you know, with the city on possibly some targeted incentives. But I'm not for you know, a broad range of incentives, but those would have to be very targeted depending on what it is that they want to do. And we've been in a position where we've said no before to other developers.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your answer to that question. You're listening to a special Sound Ideas on WGLT and a Bloomington City Council Candidates Forum live from ISU's University Gallery in Uptown Normal. Illinois People's Action has issued a call to ask both Bloomington and Normal councils to pass ordinances declaring themselves welcoming cities for immigrants. And I'll read a little bit about what that entails. It will take just a touch more time here. That ordinance, according to IPA drafting, would prohibit police from using resources to help Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement or ICE agents in any way, including by providing ICE surveillance or helping with raids. It would not allow ICE agents to question people in custody of police. It would ban voluntary city participation in the secure communities or other optional programs or registries. It would prevent the city from collecting and sharing information on the immigration status of its residents, and require police to consider the risk of deportation when exercising discretion to arrest individuals. How would you vote on such an ordinance? And Jay Ballmer, it's your turn to start first.
I don't know that an ordinance, particularly one that is that restrictive, is necessary. I think that we've already proven that both Bloomington and Normal are communities that accept a very diverse population. We've been very supportive of all aspects of that community. I think both county, state, and local law enforcement have already made statements to the fact that they're not going to adhere to some of those requirements by the federal government coming up as far as ICE is concerned. I would say that we can easily write a general ordinance that says we are a welcoming community and have it go at that.
Kimberly Bray.
Well, I would agree with that. I think that an ordinance goes too far. I think perhaps a declaration of inclusion and of support to all of our immigrants in our community would be something that could possibly address this. I want to make mention we have a wonderful resource in our community in terms of the Immigration Project. This is a project that works towards gaining naturalization for legal immigrants, and I had the great honor to work with this group, and I do pro bono work with this group in working to get clients through that process. Now, obviously, this has to deal with the illegal immigrants, and I know that Charlotte Alvarez there has taken a lot of phone calls from illegal immigrants, and they're gravely concerned. The thing that I think we need to be careful about is that we want to make sure we don't set up a situation where people are desperate and desperate measures occur. Thank you.
Bob Clay, your thoughts on a welcoming cities ordinance?
I would vote no on such a ordinance. I believe that it doesn't make any sense to have, you know, 50,000 or 100,000 different immigration policies across the country. We're one country and we have one immigration policy. And we ask the federal government for assistance all the time for local crime. Somebody commits a crime in Bloomington and goes to Indiana, and we expect, you know, the FBI or other federal agencies to help us track down that criminal and bring him back to justice and normal. I don't think we should prohibit the reverse when the federal government says we have lawbreakers in Bloomington Normal, that the Bloomington Normal police can't transmit that information to them.
So far, not a popular idea. Gary Lambert?
I first heard about that this afternoon when I read an article about it on one of the radio stations, may have been yours, I'm not sure. To me, that's the first step toward declaration of a sanctuary city. I think that is absolutely wrong. We're supposedly a nation of laws. Bob said it pretty well. We can't pick and choose the laws that we decide to follow and have an ongoing society. Thank you.
Shariar Mufti, your turn.
Thank you. I am an immigrant. I also believe that immigration policies are in the domain of the federal government. We should not really be in the business of choosing which laws we should enforce and which laws we should discard. I am all for legal immigration. I am against illegal immigration, and I'm against any such ordinance that binds our law enforcement and possibly even puts them in legal trouble. This issue has come up recently, like Gary mentioned, and I think our thoughts are evolving on that. But that's my opinion at this point.
Mboka Mulambwe.
Thank you. I do not think an ordinance is necessary. I do agree that we should go in the direction of a resolution. We are already a pretty welcoming community, as Kim has stated. There are a number of resources here in town to help those immigrants who are having difficulties. I'm also an immigrant. I think, you know, we have to show compassion, but at the same time, we cannot put in place ordinances that would put us at odds with the federal government. I don't see anything good coming out of that. If anything, I would emphasize dialogue, you know, with the federal government, as is happening now through the courts. There's a lot of ongoing dialogue, you know, about those immigration issues. That's my preferred option.
And Greg Rodriguez gets the final bite at this apple.
I am not an immigrant, but my grandfather was, a legal one. I would be against an ordinance that would almost certainly put us at odds with the federal government. We need the federal government. I heard the comment before, we are a nation of laws, and I do worry about a precedent where we'd be picking and choosing the federal laws we choose to abide by. I think you're only setting yourself up for trouble in that regard. With that said, there are a lot of complex scenarios that we have in play with families, and I would not advocate for necessarily getting ourselves mixed up in that with ordinances in that regard.
Thanks for choosing GLT and Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. You're listening to special live broadcast of a Ward 3 and 9 Bloomington City Council Candidate Forum, co-sponsored with the McLean County League of Women Voters. We're coming to you from Illinois State University Galleries, live from Uptown Normal. A criticism of the ward system in Bloomington is that it encourages a micro-focus on an alderman's own district. Do you believe council members should run at large to encourage a primary orientation on what's good for the community as a whole? And if not, how do you maintain that balance of trees and forest? Kimberly Bray, you complete the cycle of people going first.
Well, thank you for this question. I think it's important that we acknowledge that the ward system is unique in that regard. When there is an at-large assignment, it would appear that people would have this broader focus. But I want to argue the other way. I want to say that by having advocates that are assigned to represent discrete sectors, you have the ability to have these people represent that interest and bring that with all of their good work and all of their research and advocate and explain that position to the council at large and to the mayor. And then they collaborate with the others there who are bringing in their good information. And in this way, each one is an advocate specifically and able to put their heads together and have a consensus piece on what is best for our city overall. Thank you.
Bob Clay.
I like the current system. The mayor is representing the entire city, and the aldermen represent their district. But we do, as aldermen, most of us are running because we're concerned about the city as a whole, not because, you know, I didn't get my trash picked up in this district or my water doesn't taste as good in that district. And so I think the alderman can, I think the advantage is it's easier for somebody to run as a new candidate. I'm a new candidate, and, you know, to try to launch a citywide campaign is pretty tough, but it's much easier to, you know, just focus on your ward. I think the advantages also can be seen in, you know, the recent controversy over, you know, Hershey. The traffic speed on, or speed limit on Hershey was a big concern to people right in that area. People in wards that were far away, you know, well, they didn't really care too much. So I think there's an advantage to having aldermen represent wards.
Gary Lambert.
As a generalization, I would be opposed to the at-large system. The only possible compromise to that might be something like Peoria, where they have, a couple of at-large candidates and a number of individual ward candidates. As Bob mentioned, if you went to a pure at-large, it would be nearly impossible for an individual to raise the money unless you had the backing of a large organization. You can look at the contributions for certain candidates and see where that money's coming from. With the ward system, I've been able to go around and knock on every single door. I couldn't do that with an at-large system. Thank you.
Sherry R. Mufti, which way do you want to go on this one, and how to maintain an at-large focus, even if you like aldermanic construction?
Yeah. Personally, I don't have a preference on which mode is better or not. A few things that I do like about the ward system is that, you know, neighbors have the ability to choose their own elected representatives. I think that's important. What's also important, I think, is if we have the ward system, that our aldermen are accessible to their neighbors and their community. They're able to collaborate with them and discuss issues with them and bring their voice up to the city council. So I can see pros and cons for both. I don't have a personal opinion. I kind of like the ward system right now just because it allows me to run.
Fair enough. Mboka Mulambwe.
Oh, thank you. I think each and every one of those systems has its pros and cons. So for myself, for example, when, you know, in the ward system, when people contact me, I know that this is, and they say to me that they live in my ward, I say, it is my issue. What I've heard in the at-large system oftentimes is that, you know, when you contact somebody, you know, you don't really know who is going to answer your question. So people may have a system for doing that, but I've heard that people get, you know, their questions unanswered. So I feel a greater sense of responsibility in the ward system to be responsive to those who contact me. But, you know, and I also take a look at, you know, the broader picture as well. I think that's just an individual thing. I try to look at the benefit for the whole city as well.
Thank you, Mboka. Greg Rodriguez.
I think that I don't necessarily have a strong preference, but I believe it should be all one or all the other. I echo some of the prior comments that have been made about the ward system simplifies the process of getting involved. I mean, I probably wouldn't be getting involved at this level if I were running for an at-large seat. I will say that in some conversations with the current Ward 9 alderman, he indicated that the majority of contacts he gets from citizens are from people outside the ward. I don't think a ward system necessarily precludes me from taking a citywide view and evaluating the concerns for the whole. I think it's best to have either entirely at large or entirely ward based. The hybrid systems, I don't think, are necessarily the greatest.
And Jay Ballmer talking about wards versus at large or a hybrid.
One of the problems that we've had with the Bloomington City Council in the past, particularly the not too distant past, is the us versus them mentality, where somebody says, "Well, you know, you got that for your ward, I want that for my ward." I think we should be looking at, you know, making sure that every ward has the same access to quality of life, transportation, and every other aspect of community life. But there are some issues with at large. One of those, again, is having everybody run a citywide campaign for a city council position. So what I would look at is a further discussion, and I know this has happened in the past, of a hybrid system where we have a smaller number of wards and a couple of at-large members to balance things out, which would also open up running for city council to people that wouldn't ordinarily have that opportunity.
And that answer moves us to our closing statements. We'll go in reverse order from our opening statements, which means, Kimberly Bray, you have 1 minute to close.
Thank you, Charlie. Well, our time together passed very quickly here, so I'd like to encourage everyone to visit my campaign Facebook page, Kimberly Bray for Ward 9, to find out more about me. Also, come out to the Sharing of the Green Parade this weekend on Saturday. I'll be there. Bloomington's greatest strength is its people. We have the ability to address challenges that lie ahead. By focusing on the things that bind us rather than those that divide us, we can accomplish a collective work that will ensure a quality community for all our citizens and build a path to our future. I ask you to build that path with me by building a better Bloomington with Bray. Thank you, and God bless.
Jay Ballmer, your turn.
If you're looking for a decisive candidate who is responsive to his constituents and wants to help the city grow in a responsible manner without raising taxes or cutting services, I'm that candidate. I will work tirelessly to promote the city as a great place to locate or grow a business, support local entrepreneurism, and make sure that every community has resources it needs to be successful. The Third Ward is one that is likely to see further development, and I intend to ensure that the comprehensive plan is the blueprint for that development, and I look forward to continuing my service to the city of Bloomington.
Greg Rodriguez, your closing, sir.
Thank you. I think Bloomington Normal is the best community in the state because of the perfect storm of livability factors we have here. I do take issue with some of the arguments we hear about economic development. The way to develop an economy is to get out of the way. Using Dix as an example of economic development is like putting a sofa and a TV in an unused bedroom and calling it a family room addition. You didn't add anything, you just moved your furniture around. I am the only truly fiscal conservative candidate running to represent Ward 9, and I appreciate your consideration. Please check my Facebook page out at Vote Greg Rodriguez, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Mboka Mulambwe.
Thank you, Charlie.
On April 4th, you will have an opportunity to make a critical decision on the future direction of our city. I believe the best candidates are those that think broadly about community needs, make decisions that are balanced, but also focus on progress. Regardless of our challenges, we must ensure that Bloomington remains a destination of choice for those that want to live, work, and play here. It is especially critical that young members of our community enjoy living here because it makes them most likely to return to the community and raise their families here or establish the next Microsoft or Facebook. That is the best way to ensure that our community remains vibrant for the foreseeable future, and I invite you to join me on April 4th so we can continue to make Bloomington a better place. Thank you.
Sharier Mufti, your closing comments, sir.
Thank you, GLT and League of Women Voters, for the opportunity. Local governments are the bedrock of our on which our great nation stands. What your local representatives say, do, and stand for reflects upon you as citizens and ultimately impacts our nation. If you do vote for me, please know that my priorities will be life, health, and safety issues first, followed by basic infrastructure maintenance and improvements, followed by common sense economic development. If you vote for me, I promise to be your voice in the City Council. A vote for me is really a vote for you and your family. I humbly ask for your vote, and it has been an honor for me to run in this election. Thank you.
Gary Lambert, you're up.
In addressing Bloomington's challenge, I believe myself to be a catalyst for positive change. I have the education, bachelor's in business management, and MBA from Bradley, along with a bachelor's in history from ISU. The experience, Air Force veteran, retiree from Caterpillar General Offices as Senior Systems Supervisor, and current City Council knowledge, having attended over 90% of all council meetings over the last 4 years, to be a valuable asset. My top three priorities would include developing 1- and 5-year expenditure plans, developing and 1- and 5-year revenue plans, and developing and committing to prioritizations of the items on the expenditure plan. Thank you.
And Bob Clay.
The April 4th election is a big opportunity for change. If you like the way the city has been done in the past 8 years with increasing spending, increasing taxes, and business development that moves a business from one location to a mile or even less away using TIFs and other special interest gimmicks, then the present incumbents and our council are the ones to vote for. If you want change, you want lower taxes, lower spending, and emphasis on capitalism economics, then you can vote for me, Bob Clay, in Ward 3. Thank you.
And thank you, candidates, for participating in this live on-location edition of Sound Ideas and the Bloomington Ward 3 and 9 Candidates Forum, co-sponsored with the McLean County League of Women Voters. We're accepting questions for the upcoming Normal Council Forum, March 21st, 2017, and a forum for Bloomington Mayor, March 28th. And you can submit those questions at WGLT.org. You can find them listed on our website, the forums, then their location. It's at the University Galleries, and you can submit questions for those events. WGLT.org is also where you can find this episode of Sound Ideas with help from broadcast technologist Travis Metters, events and outreach director Linda Healy, program director Mike McCurdy, correspondent Ryan Denham, the McLean County League of Women Voters, and ISU University Galleries director Barry Blinderman. As well, we'd like to thank the Farnsworth Group and Henson Disposal and Recycling for helping to make this and the other 5 GLT and League of Women Voter Candidate forums possible. The consolidated municipal election is April 4th. Please be a good citizen. Inform yourself about the issues and candidates and vote. Thanks to you for attending and listening. This is WGLT Normal, a service of Illinois State University.